Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So this year, I'm very much like, no, I control the spaces that I'm in. I control the rooms that I'm in. Regardless of how other people's energy is presenting itself, I'm going to put forth my best effort and shine in the way that I know that I can and that I do. And that's that. Like, fuck everyone. I don't give a fuck about anything other than what the fuck I got going on.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for, but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting. Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Hi, everyone. I'm Viola Benson. Welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting, the largest self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health. Today, my special guest is my pal, Cami Crawford.
Hey.
We're friends because I'm able to pronounce her name pretty easily, yes. Which is really convenient for me.
A lot of people don't actually pronounce my name correctly.
Really?
Because it's spelled like Jamie. They call me Cami, which is very irritating.
I guess... Can't comment.
I get it, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's short for Cameron.
Especially if you're having a bad day. You're like, you know what?
If I'm having a bad day, fucking forget about it.
What did you call me?
What? Ooh?
Yeah.
Don't ever disrespect me. Cami. Yep.
So Cami.
I think it's now you're going to fuck it up.
No, it's because I can't pronounce it. That's why I'm not able to say
no,
it.
No,
like
you
that.
Say it right.
No, like how other people
Cami.
Say it.
Can you say Jamie?
Jamie. But Cami. It's hard for me to pronounce it.
Because it's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. That's why.
English, a lot of the spelling in English is not logical to me personally
as a
foreigner.
I think favorite, we should put the U in favorite.
I spell British spelling.
And color.
Yeah, I love it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Also, diarrhea just spelled completely differently when you use
every time
British
I have to
spelling.
Spell diarrhea, which is a lot, I get it misspelled every single
a
time.
A lot.
Yeah.
You really are going through it.
Sometimes. I told you, Scorpios are going through stomach issues right now.
Yeah, okay. So if you're Scorpio and you're listening, currently Scorpios are going through some stomach issues. Scorpios are going through it this year.
Yeah. And we're going through it on a daily basis, I think.
Internally.
No one knows. It's a private battle.
And then if someone does find out and they're like, oh, I feel so close to you, I will block you and never speak to you again.
You have no idea what I'm dealing with.
Yeah. You've now, you feel so close to me, great. I never want to see you again. You make me uncomfortable.
Ever. Don't ever speak to me.
Good times. Okay, so today, my guest, I wanted to introduce her. Cami is a multifaceted talent whose journey has taken her from the world of beauty pageants, which I think a lot of us forget that sometimes.
Everyone forgets.
So cool to remember, to becoming a sought-out after a media personality, model, and advocate. She gained widespread recognition when she was crowned Miss Teen USA in 2010. How cool is that? Making history as the first woman of color to win the title in almost a decade.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Crazy.
Since then, she's used her platform to advocate for diversity, inclusion, and self-acceptance beyond her pageant days. She has also made a name for herself as a dynamic host, commentator, and she's known for her wit, for her charm, for being a Scorpio and being unapologetically herself.
Period.
She currently hosts one of the most known shows on MTV called Catfish, and she also has her own podcast called Relationship.
That you've been on.
That I have been on the past and I'm coming back on unless that episode already aired when this episode airs.
Right, yeah, exactly.
She's a bad bitch and a sad bitch because you can be both.
Cool bitch, weird bitch.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Me too.
Yeah.
Are you currently working on anything else?
Myself, and that's it.
Actually, all jokes aside, that is something really important. I feel like a lot of times we're working on so many other things and we're not working on ourselves.
Yes.
And so I think it is good that you are working on yourself.
Thank you. It's an active pursuit, but I think right now, like I said, Scorpios are going through gut things. I've been going through gut things for a year now. Now I'm gluten-free. I've got all this LA shit happening to my gut that I never had before when I lived on the East Coast. But here I am. I think it also comes with age, but I'm just figuring things out internally so that I can feel better on the inside and let that radiate outwards. Because when I don't feel good, fuck it all. I don't care.
Well, it's true. When you don't feel good about yourself, that's also how you see the world. Because what is it? Something about how you are, who your identity is projected onto everyone else, which means that's how, if you hate yourself and you think you suck, blah, 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 the world sucks. That's how you see the world, that everyone hates you and they feel the same way about you.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just like how I looked in the mirror, because I didn't really mind how I looked in the mirror, but I felt so tired. I felt so just like shitty. And I went to a gut health doctor, a naturopathic gut health doctor. I also went to a Reiki healer. I also have a therapist, and I also have 5 million other things that keep me afloat. And he suggested becoming gluten-free. And I did all these tests and all this shit. And that was like the best thing that I could have done for myself. So I'm working on my gut right now.
I love that for you. No, yeah, I'm still so bad at the way I eat. So I get that. I'm always like, why am I so tired? And I have no energy. And it's like all I eat every day is just bread, like dough and no water. And I just drink Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do I feel this way? Why do I have a headache all the time? I don't get it.
One of my favorite things is to tell my boyfriend that I have a headache and him to ask me, did I have water today? As if that wasn't the first fucking thing that I would have done. It's not the first thing that I would have done, but I'm getting better at it.
Because you have your Stanley cup now.
I have my Stanley.
Because apparently Stanley cups make you want to drink water more because of the straw.
They do. This is not sponsored, but if they want to, contact Violet at almostfiddleton.com or
I've never had a Stanley cup yet, but it does seem like such a trend.
Did you see the woman who got into like a fiery car crash? And she had a Stanley cup in the car. She survived. She was fine. But she pulled her Stanley out and it still had ice in it. The drink was still cold. Through a fiery car crash.
Oh, her car set on fire?
Yeah.
And the first thing they said, wait, forget about the woman. Is the Stanley cup okay? You guys, this is iconic. We can get millions of views for this shit.
And they did. And she's like, and burning Stanley sent her a new car.
Oh, a new car.
Yeah.
Imagine just a cup.
No, that would fuck me up.
So it was Stan's fire?
Yeah. Well, allegedly. Those claims are not confirmed.
Like everyone in their house now is going to try to set it on fire.
Exactly. Exactly. Me tonight with a flame.
I'm actually curious. I kind of wanted to set it on fire.
No, not mine.
Oh, I don't have one.
Well, bitch. You have to order it online on Amazon like I did. I overpriced, actually.
How much was it?
My sisters, the Gen Zers, the real pioneers of the Stanley Cup, my 17-year-old sisters told me that I paid like an erroneous amount for my Stanley. I think I paid like $80 for it and they're only like 40. But I got on Amazon and it's like a color that I wanted. And I think, I don't know, somebody
well,
scammed me.
Maybe they got it before it became like a whole thing.
Somebody scammed me.
Oh, really? I thought that's how much they cost, though. I thought they were like 80.
I feel like they're less. And I also have like the old version. Whatever. And I only have one. You know, some people have like all the colors. But I have been thinking about getting a black one. I'm not going to lie. But overconsumption.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I can judge. The other day, the minute I really like food, I ordered the same one over and over again.
Same, yeah.
And I had Wetzel pretzels. And then for a whole...
Wait. No.
For a whole 2 weeks, every single day, I kept eating Wetzel pretzels.
Where is there a Wetzel pretzels near you?
Like 10 miles away, so I would pay extra money for the delivery. While I was working from home, because I work from home so much. And for a whole 2 weeks, like every single day, Wetzel pretzels. And then some days I would just be like, oh, I'll just eat my leftovers from the day before. But I'm not sure if they're good for
leftover Wetzel's pretzels.
So that's the thing. I'm not sure if that's a thing. So then when I finally threw up from it,
okay,
I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Enough for me with the no. First, I, you know, when we originally were talking about how you struggle to spell
A diarrhea. You struggle to spell Wetzel's Pretzels?
No, so...
You should be the spelling bee champ for Wetzel's Pretzels.
Once I...
You're ordering it every day.
No, not the spelling. I was going to say, I was trying to say it in a ladylike manner that, you know, everything was coming out all ends of my body. And that kind of told me, maybe it's time to stop.
Yeah.
And also, maybe they're not meant to be eaten over the course of 2-3 days.
Were they regular pretzels or cinnamon or...
No, the buttery ones.
Oh, okay.
We get the buttery ones and then I would get the small ones that are buttery. And then we get also the hot dog ones that are buttery. And then I would get 2 drinks. One was the cold strawberry one that's like icy. And then 1 regular drink, but large size.
Miss girl. Is this your... What kind of meal was this? For dinner or like a snack?
It was my whole day meal.
It was for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Because I would get three pretzels plus the tiny little ones plus the hot dog ones. So it was more than enough for the whole day. Anyway, I've learned my lesson.
I'm sick just thinking about that many pretzels.
It's actually embarrassing what an adult I am in life. But then when it comes to my food, for some reason, I think it's not as important. And I'm wrong because look at you talking about the gut health and how much that weighs into so many other things. So yes. I think, you know... Maybe one day I'll learn. I don't know.
It's time to make a change.
It's actually embarrassing.
I understand because hyperfixation foods are like my thing. Like I discovered pho like, I don't know, probably 6 months ago and I now have it 4 times a week.
Ah.
Like I will order the same exact thing. I thought it was just my rising Virgo, but I don't know.
Oh, ordering. I don't know. My rising is Sagittarius, so.
So no.
What's your moon?
We're just weird. Libra.
Oh, that's so maybe social. It's that. Look at you. Girl, you're such a little social butterfly.
I am a introvert masquerading as an extrovert.
That's me as well.
Yeah.
But my moon is Aquarius.
Oh.
So it makes me detached from my feelings, I would say.
Yeah. But it's also probably the reason why you ordered Wetzel's Pretzels.
Is it? Because I'm so unique and quirky like that. I'm like, I'm not like other girls. I get diarrhea from it because I eat it 3 days in a row.
I just want to know, when did the idea pop in your mind, like pretzels? Like, that's what I want.
I think I went to a hockey game. I had a Wetzel pretzel. Okay. I was like, that's delicious.
That was the catalyst.
I want to have that for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes.
That's how.
Oh, I did have that about Beignet Box. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, bitch. First of all, I can't have it anymore because it's not gluten-free. So kill me.
Yeah.
But. When they first came out with Beignet Box, it's beignet. Have you ever had a beignet?
No, I don't even know what that is.
You've never had a beignet?
It doesn't even sound like, it sounds like a brand for a bathroom, like a bidet. You never had a beignet? No, I'm normal. I don't
go to the bathroom all the time. No, a beignet. I was almost about to say bidet. A beignet is like a pastry. It's like a, have you had a funnel cake?
No, they never looked appealing to me. There's a lot of American foods that I just never cared to try.
Okay, well, it's like a New Orleans thing. It's like a pastry donut, like cake thing almost. It's like the most flakiest, delicious shit, and it's covered in powdered sugar.
Oh, so like a donut?
Kind of, but like fluffier, like very light, but also very heavy.
Oh, like a Jewish donut, what we have for Hanukkah. And there's stuff in it.
I don't know if I've had that.
Right.
So I might have.
It sounds similar. Okay.
It's so maybe delicious.
Okay, yeah.
But so when they first came out, I was out in the rain at 9 a.m. because they said that it was a food truck at first. Now they have like a standing store.
Yeah.
I was in the rain at 9 a.m. and they didn't come. They were like an hour and a half delayed. And I sat in my car in the rain.
Is that when you realize like maybe this your life is not going the way you want it to go?
But guess what? I was still there. Lined up. In the line. Every time they opened the fucking door, I was there.
So how long were you doing that?
About a year.
And then when did you start seeing therapy?
That year.
It's amazing.
That actually was that year, that same year.
Right.
Haven't been back in a while.
To therapy?
No. To Beignet Box.
Oh, okay.
Therapy, it's still going. That's why I'm so much better now.
I know. I actually just slept through therapy. I forgot to about therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I had Wetzel pretzels and I overate and it made me fall asleep and I missed my session. And I said, it's okay. Just make sure to charge me. And he said, I already did. And I was like, great.
Great. Well, at least I've got my leftover pretzel.
Worth it. And that's when I got diarrhea.
Good. Good.
So
I just want to know if you dipped it in mustard or if you just had it plain.
Oh my God. I love mustard with my pretzels.
Too much. We can move on.
And then I moved on to just eating the mustard from the packet without the pretzel.
We can move on.
Okay, let's move on.
Next question. Yes.
Okay, what's something you think most people don't know about you?
Ooh, God. Well, I am a chronic oversharer, so that's very...
Like people that say that usually have something in their closet.
I mean, I do. I definitely do. But you'll never know. No, I do say this, but I feel like people don't really get it about me. What is it?
Hair and
like it's like a Billy. I have a Billy Goat hair coming out of my chin.
It's gone now.
I used to be like obsessed with video games as a child, like to the point where you would have to pry the video game controllers out of my hands at like 4 or 5 a.m. on a nightly basis. But not like regular video games. I was playing like Grand Theft Auto at 7 years old. Have you ever played that?
Wait, I'm laughing because I'm like, me too. That's what I was like, no way.
I found my people.
Yeah, I used to be obsessed with video games.
No, I was obsessed. And then over quarantine, I got to really dive back into The Sims.
Oh, The Sims?
That was my shit.
That is so... I started playing Zelda, but after a while, it was just... Zelda, The Chronicles, whatever. And after a while, there's just like so many things you have to do to win this girl's heart. And I'm like, is she even worth it? Do we even know what she's about? Like you have to save her, but I have to go through so much. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to work on you. What if, maybe it's time for you to save yourself.
Maybe that's how men feel about women.
As if.
They're like, you know what? This is too much. I don't want to have to keep doing all these chronicles to get to this bitch.
Yeah.
Bye. I'm just going to leave. No, that's not how they feel. They love us.
Let me guess. Your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't really work for you. You're still not sleeping. Your body still hurts, especially, you know, if you're in your 30s or even if you're in your 20s. My body has been hurting since the day I've been born. And you're probably also stressed out. That is how it was for me. So then I decide to clear out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. And it has been such a game changer. CB Distillery targets formulations that are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. There's no fluff, no fillers. It's just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. And the reason I'm obsessed with them is because the other CBD products that I've tried in the past had such high THC in them that I felt like I lost like 3 days of my life every time I would take one. And this one has such a low THC levels in it and much higher CBD levels in it that I have been taking their gummies every single night to help me go to bed. I've been using their creams to help me with my back pain that before, no matter how many expensive massages I was paying for, it just was not helping me. I am literally obsessed with their products. And I also use their gummies to help me with my anxiety, to just calm me down. And I'm able to get through the day. I'm able to not have memory loss. I don't lose 3 days out of nowhere. Anyway, I just feel like CB Distillery really stands out than any other CBD stuff that I've ever tried before in my life. In just 2 non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said that CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said that they even slept better with CBD, me being one of them. So if you're currently struggling with a health concern and you haven't been able to find relief, make the change like I did with CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. And you guys, for right now, I have a 20% discount to get you started. So visit cbdistillery.com and use my code ADULTING for 20% off. That is cbdistillery.com. Using my code ADULTING for 20% off. So go ahead and visit cbdistillery.com today.
Yeah, I was thinking about The Sims literally 2 days ago. I was telling my boyfriend that I want to pick that back up again, but it takes up so much of my life. I have a separate computer for The Sims specifically because I have so many mods that I've downloaded from different sites that could possibly put really bad viruses on my computer, but I don't care. The Wicked Whims mod.
I don't even know what that means, but I hear you.
Oh.
I just want you to know that I want you to feel seen. Yeah. I want you to feel heard. Mm-hmm. But I have noticed it is pretty crazy for me to watch adults play at Sims, but it makes sense. I think it's probably a way to disassociate from reality because you're escape. Focusing on someone else's life and you don't have to really think.
Yes.
And then they like do these weird dances and like, ah,
yeah,
whatever. I don't know how they talk, what they
Zabba,
do.
Zabba.
Yeah. Zabba, Zabba. Zabba,
do. It's the best. It's so much fun. And on my Sims, I have twins, Bella and Ella, and they have a strip club.
Oh.
And they each have like 5 kids. They got pregnant with twins multiple times because I made them.
Okay.
They can rob people. They can prostitute. They can sell drugs. All from the strip club. Easy peasy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. So you, so in fun. A way, did Grand Theft Auto yes. into Sims
yes.
as crossover. An adult. It's a crossover.
Yes. Yep.
That's a collab they need to do.
They should, but it won't be rated E for everyone.
Dude, Grand Theft Auto was so hard for me to check out of when I start playing it again a little bit as an adult, because I remember when I was, after playing for so many hours in my parents' house,
yes.
when I would drive home, it almost felt like it wasn't reality yet. And yes. I would look around, I would think, I can hit these people right now.
Okay.
Did yes. you ever think that?
1,000. I remember specifically being in the car with my mom and being like, I don't know, 10. And my parents, my mom's from Jamaica. She doesn't know what the fuck these games are. She's like, oh, you want this yeah. car game? Sure. Like, you know, got it for me for Christmas. And I remember us being in the car and being in traffic. And I asked her, why can't you just run into these people and push past them and run the red light? And she was like, Cameron, why do you think that that's something that you can do? And I was like, I don't know. I just thought about it.
That is so funny. Now I feel embarrassed that you thought that as a 10-year-old. And I just said, when I was driving, that's crazy.
Yesterday.
I meant when my dad was driving me, I thought we should just hit them. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I was also only 10.
Yeah.
Not 25.
Yes.
All right.
But I get it, because it does distort your reality. And so when people make arguments that like video games with violence and guns and whatever can like warp the mind of a child, I understand.
Yeah, it's hard for a second to go, especially if you're playing for 10 hours straight. What's a misconception about you that you want to clarify? You're much nicer in real life?
I actually am.
I'm kidding. But that's not a misconception.
It's like, I actually am. But I think that something that I get a lot when people meet me who have watched hours of Catfish, which I'm glad that they do, is that I'm the same in real life that I am on TV. I am.
Oh, so the misconceptions that they think you're pretending to be someone else.
Yeah, or like
something.
I'm a character, or like they'll be like, how do you like think of the things that you say? Or like, how are you so compassionate towards, because that's just, I don't change anything. I don't like have to, I've been asked several times in interviews, like, how do you prepare for a day of filming? And honestly, the way that I prepare is the fact that I'm an empath. So like a lot of the information that I receive, I take it home with me instead yeah. of just like listening to it and then giving feedback and then like, oh, my day is done. I'm very, I think about it for a long time after. So yeah, when people are like, oh, like, do you do any kind of, like, did you model after anyone to, like, figure out how you... No, I just am like this.
I like that. I think it's so nice when you're being true to yourself, then you don't have to pretend to be anyone else, then yeah. you don't have to remember, you don't have to constantly remember all the lies you were telling.
Exactly.
So maybe it's a Scorpio thing. I feel like a lot yeah. of us... And this is so silly. I recently randomly read Matthew McConaughey's book, and then I Googled to see what his zodiacs, because I've been reading various books to get it that I have to do with memoir parts, yeah, since yeah, I'm yeah. writing a part memoir, part self-help book.
Ooh.
So I've been diving into other people's books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Research.
So I read Matthew McConaughey's book, and then he was like so honest with who he is as a person, and his writing is actually very good. I mean, his speeches have always been really good.
Yeah.
And I always thought he was not the smartest, you know, based on his character. But he's brilliant. Yeah. Writing, he wrote his own book, writing and speaking. But anyway, I Googled him and he's a Scorpio. And I said, that makes sense. He's part of our tribe.
Naturally.
I think we're just like really good at being ourselves.
We are. We are. I think, I mean, it's, I don't want to have to, I had to not be somebody else, but I had to be a very controlled version of the person that I am when I was Miss Teen USA. Like, it was very, like, you know, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear like 10 masks every time you walk into a room because people are expecting a Disney fucking princess and you have to deliver that. So if you're having a bad day, you better put a smile on and like, straighten those shoulders up and, you know,
I
give it a little
world peace.
Like, everything has to be like that. Mm-hmm. And so after my reign was over, because it's a year, well, I was Miss Maryland Teen USA first, and then I won Miss Teen USA. So I was Miss Maryland Teen USA, I think, for like 6 months or something before I won Miss Teen USA. And that's a long time to have to like be programmed.
Yeah.
And so when I gave up my title, I had a lot of deprogramming to do. And when I did that, I was just like, I'm just going to be so radically myself that whoever doesn't fucking like it, bye.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care anymore.
I feel like that's what I've always liked about you since the day we met. And again, I'm going to take away zodiac signs from this, not because because you're Scorpio. I feel like I liked how real you were because it made me feel like I can be myself around you and I didn't have to, you know, kind of cut the corners to make someone, to make you feel better or to, I don't know, I didn't have to be a different version. So at least for me, I don't know, maybe it's a thing, you make other people feel this way, but you make me feel in a way that I can just be comfortable around you.
Oh, Violet.
Okay.
I love that. No, I do hear that a lot from people. Aww. And it's like the best compliment because you know what I hate? When somebody has to tell you something, but they're trying to figure out how to say it, my first reaction is always just fucking spit it out and I can like decipher it in what you mean. Like if you're like troubling to like, oh, how do I say this? Just say it however it comes to you.
Yeah.
And I will especially if I know you as a person, I will know how you meant it. Like, you don't have to try to pad it for me. And I hate, like, even with people on, I'm sure you can relate, like, when you have people on your team and they'd, like, have bad news and they're trying to let you down gently. Don't let me down gently.
I just
tell me what the fuck is going on.
It gives me more anxiety when they're just beating around the bush. So they start, well, here's everything you're doing great. Like, okay, if there's bad news, I want it out so I can figure out how to handle it and what to do next.
When they say good news or bad news first. Give me the bad news first, because the whole time you're giving me the good news, I'm just going to think about the bad news that you're about to fucking tell me.
Yeah, spit it out. How are you if someone gets on your bad side?
Don't find out.
Okay. I don't want to.
Don't find out. No, I am I'm not, like, if you get on my bad side, if you fucked up with me, you're going to know it.
Mm.
You're going to know it. Like, I had someone one time ask me, like, oh, I didn't know when we first met if you liked me or not. If you don't know,
that's so true. You know.
If you don't know, then you know what the fucking answer is. And I'll be like, girl, you know I don't like you, but that's fine. Like, we don't have to.
That's so mean.
We don't have to, like, vibe. It's okay. Like, especially if you've done something. If you haven't done anything to me, I'm not here to make you feel like shit about yourself. You're just not my person. That's okay. But, like, if you've done something, I'll be like, bitch, you know what you did. And it's fine.
Yeah. I think it just all depends on being respectful to one another. I think a lot of times people think that the only way two people can get along and be cohesive with one another, whatever that word is if you have the same views on everything. But like, you and I don't always have the same views on things, but I think because we have boundaries and I've always respected you, I put that aside because I like who you are as a person.
Yeah, respect is the biggest thing. So for me, if someone gets on my bad side, and I mean, to get on my bad, you have to really fuck up.
Yeah, same.
You have to really fuck up to get on my bad side. But there's definitely people that I meet every day and I'm like, no, like, that's not my person. And like, even with friend groups, and they'll be like, no, like, she's just having a bad day, like, you just have to let her warm up. No, I don't.
Whenever that, when I'm like, you know what, I rush into making decisions about people too fast, 6 months down the line, the line, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
And you know what the craziest thing? Once you tell your mom or whatever, your mom always knows before you do.
1,000%.
One time I was so done with a friend for the 5,000,000th time and I called my mom and I said, Mom, you're not going to believe what this girl did, blah, blah. And she said, with her thick Russian accent, she said, Violetta, you know whose fault this is? And I said, who? And she goes, yours. So I don't want to hear about it anymore. You're going to keep forgiving someone who's doing the same thing over and over again. You know who's the idiot here is? You.
My mom's favorite line is, so who's the idiot? She always says that. She'll be like, so who's the idiot?
But I like that type of feedback. Yeah. I was like, I say, you're right. I am. You're right. And she said, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep doing the same shit, I don't want to know. And I said, thank you, mother.
Yes.
You're so right.
Thank you. Love you. I'll call you tomorrow.
Thanks for humbling me.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm the same way. I like that feedback, too. You need to be real and
Jamaican
and
moms are just as honest like that, too. I dated a guy one time. I dated a Jamaican guy one time. And I remember his mother just had like this
biggest
heart. I think
you told me. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
But she was like very like raw and honest.
She was just so... I don't even know how to, I want to say godly, which sounds, because she was pretty religious. So mm-hmm. godly in a way that she could just look at me.
Yeah.
And I just could cry because I felt like she could see all my pain.
Yes.
I don't know how to explain
it. She probably could.
It was just insane.
Yeah.
I love just foreign mothers in general.
Foreign moms are where it's at.
But I'm sure obviously American mothers are
I'm
great
sure
as
the
well.
Rest of your moms are great, but our moms are better.
Yeah. What would you say one thing about yourself right now that you are actively working to improve, and why is that important to you?
I think boundaries are always something that I'm working to improve, because we are Scorpios, and anyone who's listening who's not a Scorpio and is annoyed that we're talking about Scorpios, let me fucking tell you something, okay? When you talk about like zodiac nationalism, Scorpios are going to ride for ourselves, okay? We're going to bring it up every 5 seconds. So just listen. Just hang on
That's
to what I'm saying.
That's so funny.
We, and empaths in general, allow a lot of people in. And it's something that I love about myself, that I'm able to bring people in and make people feel comfortable and, you know. But sometimes I have found in the past, and I think I'm getting better at it with age, sometimes I've found that I can give people kind of like a kindness equals weakness vibe, and they think that they can just say anything to me. And then it makes me feel like, wait a minute, but you know how the fuck I am, and you know how I get down. Why would you think that you could just like say this to me? You know?
Yeah.
People saying like just like out the box shit to you. Like, have you ever had somebody say something to you that you're like,
yeah.
Wait.
Like, yeah.
You thought that you could say that to me and that was going to fly? Like, how did you think that this was actually going to go down? So I feel like career-wise, a lot of times, I have struggled in the past with making people understand that, like, I am very, like, serious about my work and what I do. And you can't just expect certain things of me or talk to me any kind of way as it pertains to my job, because I make everyone feel like they're my friend, but I'm also realizing that everyone's not your friend. And
no.
You have to like create boundaries.
I did hear something recently that in a weird way gave me some validation about people like us who in a way allow a lot of people in, or in a way assume everyone is innately good mm-hmm. in their own way until mm-hmm. they prove us differently. I thought that it must make me maybe weak or stupid or whatever, or soft. It was my weakness. But then I saw somewhere how they said about this one person who couldn't trust anyone, and this person said to them, the reason you can't trust anyone and you think everyone else is a bad person is because you are. And that is why you believe that everyone else is, which made me then realize the reason we believe that people are innately good and they mean well and we end up being such soft-hearted people is actually because we are. So we just assume people are just the same way as us.
Sounds like narcissism, but it also sounds like it's accurate.
No, it's actually so sweet.
No, it sounds really nice.
Because it's not, first of all, narcissism, people need to stop saying that word because there's only 2% actual real narcissists in this world. Yes, but I'm sure not all of them are going around getting diagnosed.
Right.
We all have more tendencies, narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah.
Big difference. But I think in life in general, we are projection. Remember mm-hmm. we talked about it. We mm-hmm. hold a mirror in front of ourselves. So everything in this world has to do with how we see ourselves. So
yeah.
I do think that does kind of make sense. When you don't trust anyone, You think everyone's... Here's a great example. A long time ago, I had a boss that was constantly making very rude sexual comments towards me. Mm-mm. Like, I would bend down and he'd be like, oh, that's what I like to see. And, like, he would be nicer to me if I told him my boyfriend and I broke up. And he was really weird to my male coworkers.
How old were you?
No, I was like, 21. Mm. So, and I was a bookkeeper at the time. Yeah, must have been 21. I was a bookkeeper at the time before I became an accountant. And I remember one time the guys dared me when I got his lunch to spit in his sandwich. I know, it's so terrible. And I was like, it was kind of gross, but I said, F it. Because he did so many worse things as well. So I said, okay. And I didn't like how he treated
it. Did
him. I spit in the sandwich, but I shared a room with him for work. So I gave him his lunch. And then he said, actually, why don't you sit here and do some work or talk to me or whatever while he's eating. And I just sat there and I had to just sit. And I saw him just open, unwrap the sandwich, grab it in, take a bite. And I just know he ate my spit. And it was revolting to me to watch. Yeah. Like, I wanted to throw up.
Yeah.
But after that incident, I kid you not, I never leave open drinks next to people. I don't trust people with my food. And why is that? Because I believe people will potentially spit in my food or my drinks. Why? Because I've done that. So I think
the most extreme. But that's a very good example of, like, yeah, when you do bad, then you think other people are doing what you do. It's like when you're in a relationship and you know that you're being faithful, but your partner keeps on saying, you have to be cheating on me. You must be, because they're cheating.
My ex was cheating on me. Always thought I was cheating on him. And I was like, wow, he loves me so much.
Yeah. He thinks, like, I'm so sought after. Like, and I am, upset. But like
that is so sweet. And really it's because you were cheating on me.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, hopefully that can make you feel a bit better that it's not that people are taking your kindness. It's not that you're a fool for being so kind to others. I hope you continue to be kind and just instead you set boundaries probably faster.
1000%. I've just learned to speak up sooner rather than later and, like, set my expectations early. So, like, any kind of business meeting or anything, I make it very, like, we can joke and we can kiki, but, like, I'm going to make it clear to you what my intentions are, what my ideas are. So, like, you can understand that I'm really what I say that I am. Like, this isn't a joke. I'm not, like, making shit up. This is what I bring to the table. This is what you should understand. And also, like, what's your sign? Like, where are you from? Da da da. You know?
Yeah. I love that. That's good. I always like to start the year with something new. Normally, I check in, like, am I still a dumb bitch? And this year, I'm not, because I'm on my way to making way better decisions than I have in the past. That is why this year, not only am I making better decisions, but I'm also expanding my palate by trying new wines with First Leaf. They have these personalized wines and super convenient shipping. First Leaf makes it so easy to explore new wines from all around the world. I love First Leaf because they make it super easy for me to get personalized wine boxes delivered on my schedule. I get to choose the day my wine delivery happens, so it makes me feel like I'm finally in control of my life, at least in one area of my life, with my wines, okay? To get my tailored box of wines from First Leaf, all I had to do was answer some quick questions about my likes, my dislikes, on their website, and then their expert team selected a customized assortment of world-class wines based on my preferences. Some of my current favorite wines that I've recently ordered that me and my friends just loved were their Worst Evils Red Bland Bundle and also their Vanishing Act Red Bland Yakima Valley Bundle. Love those, obsess, and I think next time I'm probably going to try out some of their white wines, so I will definitely keep you guys posted and updated with that, right? Okay, cool. Since First Leaf delivers personalized wines right to my door, I can kick back and try new wines from the comfort of my cozy couch, all priced lower than what I would pay at a wine store. Plus, if I get a bottle or shipment that I'm not loving, which has not happened yet, but it doesn't matter because I don't have to worry about that because First Leaf has 100% satisfaction guarantee, okay? So try something new this year and make better decisions with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/adulting to sign up and you will get your first six hand curated bottles for just $44.95. Are you joking? Yeah, that's right. That is TRYFIRSTLEAF.com/adulting. So tryfirstleaf.com/adulting to get your first six hand curated bottles for just $44.95. Host parties at your house. Be the life of the party for just $44.95. You're welcome. What would you say the hardest lesson that you had to learn last year?
2023 was the worst year of my fucking life. It was the worst year of my life.
Never say, I mean, this year could still be as well. There's still so much time.
But I'm honestly, kidding. No, the way that 2023 started out was bad from day one. So like, it already set the tone. Like the tone was set and the year was shit. This year was a different tone. I was like a different mentality. Like I'm going into a different, and it's not that I expect for the whole year to be perfect, but I don't expect for the whole year to be shit. And 2023 was all shit.
Why did it start as shit?
I was just like dealing with some personal things with like friends and family and like trying to be everything for everybody all at once and like just completely let myself fall by the wayside, trying to like put together the pieces of other people's lives that frankly didn't have anything to do with me. It's just like when I am a friend to someone, I am so devoted to you. I will do anything for you. And I had to learn how to set boundaries. So I think the biggest lesson that I learned last year with boundary setting and with all of it is like, it doesn't make me a bad friend to say that I can't do something for somebody. And that was a lot because I'm the type of person, I'm ride or die. Like, what the fuck? What time are we leaving? Like, you need a shovel?
Yeah.
Gun?
Yeah.
Plastic bags? Like, what do we need? Ski masks? Great. I'm there. Like, I've got the car packed. But last year, I was like, no, bitch, like, you're going to go to jail. Like, that kind of, like, not literally because I didn't literally do any of those things, but like, you're going to actually fuck yourself by continuing to do everything and try to be everything for somebody or everybody. And like, what are you getting?
Yeah, exactly. Like my mom always says, you can't be everything for everyone else if you're nothing for yourself.
And that's a fact. My mom always says you can't pour from an empty cup. Aww, I think our moms should actually be here.
I know. Does your mom have an accent?
No, not anymore. Oh, well, some people say that they hear it, but I don't. I only hear it for some words. She can't say certain things.
My mom has a very thick accent.
Yeah. My grandma has a very thick accent and she lives with us. So she's...
Oh, fun.
Full on patois-ing all the time.
That's so fun. You guys have three generations in your mm-hmm. house.
Yeah. Aww. Well, is it fun? It's kind of chaotic.
Aww.
It's kind of chaotic, but they're great.
I feel bad being that depressive person that says, well, I don't have a grandma, so, you know, it's best to just appreciate the moments you have. But of course, I understand when you're in those moments, like, yeah. Those people can be irritating.
Everybody's just so loud.
Right.
Everybody's so loud. I love it. I don't like a quiet house. When I go home and it's quiet, because I have five sisters. So when I go home and it's quiet, I'm like, somebody killed my entire family. I immediately go for the extreme.
It's six of you?
Six girls.
Six girls?
Six girls.
Is your dad okay?
No.
Yeah.
No. He's the quiet one. He's the more quiet one. And he's a Cancer. Poor thing.
Oh, right. That's why we made those comments about Cancers earlier, before we aired.
Yeah. The Cancers listening are like, What did you guys say? What did you say about us? Don't worry about it.
Doesn't matter. Little secret. Basically, the way I wanted to do today's podcast, I kind of wanted to do a get to know you. So that's kind of how I've been diving into these questions.
Getting to know you.
Yeah, I just thought it could be fun. I think a lot of times even though you said you're very authentic, I think a lot of times we can put on a mask and a lot of times people ask us like, how are you? And we say, oh, I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah.
Because you don't think anyone wants to hear the rest of it. And I think we forget sometimes, A, how much people do care and do want to hear. And then B, how relatable it is when you get to be like, oh, this person, I know that person isn't perfect. I know they're being real, mm-hmm. but I think I forgot for a second. I just assumed I'm the only one that's going through life.
Yeah.
You know?
I think my problem is when I go places like Trader Joe's and they say, how's your day going? I say, not great.
Oh, what did they say to that?
Oh, well, it'll get better. I don't think so.
They're like, oh, I don't get paid enough for this. So
they're actually very nice about it, because Trader Joe's, I feel like they have all those added benefits and stuff. So they're very nice. But like, I think radical honesty, radical honesty. Tell everybody how you feel.
Yeah.
But then also hide how you feel, because you can't trust anyone.
Okay. It's a little conflicting advice.
It is.
What would you say? What's a story from your past that you feel that still deeply resonates with you today? And why?
Oh, God. Which one? Which way do we want to go?
Well, in order for you to have gone through last year that was really hard and to learn your lessons, that means there's some story from your past that helped you,
yeah,
you know, become stronger from it.
That is true. I feel like anytime I'm going through some shit, I'm always like, you've been through worse. Like, you've gotten through worse. You've done worse. And even though that maybe shouldn't, well, my therapist says that you shouldn't say shouldn't or should.
That's true.
Like, there is no shouldn't or should.
I agree.
I guess probably the better way to process things wouldn't be to say you've been through worse, because it can also diminish what you're going through now, where what you're in currently sometimes is like that's the worst of where you've been in the present moment.
I think for some people who say that, it's probably to put them at ease that they can
get
through.
Yeah, it put me at ease that I was like, okay, I've been through worse
things. So I think you shouldn't do that to yourself. Like, why do you have to invalidate whatever emotions and thoughts you're having in order to help you calm down?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I felt like I had been through worse shit and I could get through whatever. And like, sometimes I just think of like the darkest times of my life, or times when I didn't know if I was going to make it at all. And I think gratitude was something that I was struggling with last year too, because I was just in a space of just like, everything is shit. Everything is bad. And also acknowledging that I'm in a much better place than where I used to be career-wise. I remember being 25 and having my quarter century life crisis and thinking like, I'm never going to be on TV. Like, it's never going to happen for me. I just need to get a 9-to-5 job. I started looking at jobs at magazines and I was just like, I need to just like get a job. Like, this whole fucking TV dream is bullshit. Like, it's never going to happen. I was in New York in my apartment alone, crying all the time, drinking all the time. Like, just, I wasn't an alcoholic, but close maybe. I was just like,
you were numbing the pain.
I was having a bottle of wine. Like, a bottle of wine didn't see 2 days at my house. Like, I was like, whoop. And because I was stressed, I was just like, who am I going to be? And like, when you do have family who, you know, my mom's from Jamaica, my dad's from Detroit, he comes from nothing. Like, you have something to prove to your family that like, you can do this off brand shit that they were not expecting. Like, oh, I'm going to be a TV host.
Right.
What?
What like, does that mean?
To them, they're like, when I told my dad I was going to study communications, he was like, what the fuck does that mean? And I'm like,
you're going to be unemployed and in debt.
Exactly. Got it. I'm going to take care of you for the rest of my life. Perfect. So I had something to prove. And every time I would share with my mom, like, oh, I have an audition, or oh, I have this, she would follow up and it would give me so much anxiety, because I would be like, I need to come back with something. Like, I need to say that I booked something. And even when I did book something, it's like, oh, it's unpaid, or it pays like pennies, and like, it's not enough to sustain my life. And I was modeling full time at the time, which helped like supplement my income, but it wasn't like crazy. Modeling fucking bras all day for 8 hours doesn't necessarily pay all of your bills, especially when you live in a fucking luxury high rise in Manhattan. And like, you know, you're like trying to live this life and like paying for reels and paying for headshots and a new website and a media kit, like all of these things that I needed to do. And I had almost given up. I was just like, this is it. Like, I'm not, this is, it's never going to happen for me. And I am someone who I wouldn't consider myself to be like the most religious person. I don't go to church every Sunday. I don't feel like in order to be connected to my faith that that's something that I personally have to do. I understand that people do, and I respect that. But I found that in those moments when I'm feeling that low and like nothing's going to happen for me, when I relinquish all control and I literally say like, Jesus, take the wheel, like, God, I'm trusting you. Pull this shit together for me. That's how God and I talk to each other. I'm like, I need you to make something happen, please. And like, I'm just going to let you do it. And I trust you. That's when things end up happening. So like when I was 25 and I was going through that, I let it go. And I want to say, I don't even know the exact timing, but shortly there. Well, no, because I turned 25 October of the year before, and then September of, was it September? I don't remember the exact dates. Who cares? It had been months, and I got a cold email from someone at casting at Catfish saying that they had been following me since I was Miss Teen USA, which was, I was 17 when I was Miss Teen USA. Now at this point, I'm 25. So I'd been working, and I decided I wanted to be a TV host at 19. So I've been working from 19 to 25, trying to become a host, and like working my ass off, but not getting where I thought that I should have been. And they were like, yeah, I've been following you for a long time. Would love for you to come on and like guest co-host two episodes of the show. And it was like my big break. And I had finally just like relinquished control at that point. I had decided I was going to move to LA after being very like close-fisted. Like, I'm never leaving New York. This right. is it. And finally, when I just like opened up and I was like, whatever, like whatever it is, I'm doing it wherever it is. Fine. That's when things started coming towards me and opportunities started coming my way. So last year, it was a similar thing. I was so like, I have to do this. I have to, like, I need this to happen for me. Like, nothing's happening for me. Why is nothing happening? And finally, I was like,
God, take the wheel.
Jesus,
take the wheel.
Take it from my hands. Carrie Underwood. Like, I need you to come and make something happen. He did. And like, all the pieces started coming together. And I, you know, have just, that's been my lesson, is just to stop thinking that I'm in control of shit. Like, as much of a control freak as I am, I'm not in control. Everything, I believe that everything is already predestined and like out there, and whatever is for me will not miss me. And I just need to like allow. And once I did that, and I'm still continuing to remember that a lot of times, because of course, like, we're fucking businesswomen, like, we have shit going on.
Yeah.
So like, there's no time to not be like, it's chess over checkers every day. Like, we're constantly moving pieces forward and like trying to figure out what we can do. But I've just realized that like, the opportunities that are meant for me are going to come. Like, I don't need to be out here stressing. Why?
Yeah. What is for me will not miss me. I like that. Period.
Every time.
That's a good advice for me, because as you know, before we started recording, I said I was spiraling last night in my head. So that's nice, because that does have to do with people who are such control freaks. Mm-hmm. And the more you feel out of control, the tighter you want to be in control over everything.
Yes.
But yeah, you're right. Once you just kind of release.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it'll be okay. Like, what's the worst that can happen? But then I think about, oh, yeah, exactly. But then I think about all the worst right. things that could possibly happen. And I'm like, no, like, this cannot be the case. Like, I thought about what it would be like to tell my parents that I had failed. And I was like, hell no. I would rather die. I would rather go to my grave trying than to tell them that I failed. And not because I didn't think that they would accept it. It was just like, people from my hometown, my five sisters that are looking up at me, like watching me do all this shit, people on Facebook, like, who am I? Like, I'm going to have to go to Facebook and say,
hey guys, just FYI, I failed. Whatever you're doing today, I just need you to know I failed. And they're like, who is this? Oh, how's your mother doing?
Like, no, literally.
Who cares? I failed.
Literally. Because every time I would go home to visit, my sister's friend's parents would be at the house and they'd be like, so when are you moving back to Potomac? When are you going to come back to Maryland?
Bitch, never. And she's
that was me inside. I would be like, why the fuck would you think I'm going to come back here? I've got big dreams.
Yo, stand up. Stand up.
I'm going to be on TV, bitch. That would be me inside. But then I'd be like, you know, it's not in my plans right now. I'm really enjoying New York City. I'm enjoying the city. So
that
no.
is so funny.
But like, I would have to go. I have to tell these people. I have to tell Mrs. Patterson.
Yeah. Well, if that's what's holding you up of like not giving up, that's still great.
It worked for me.
Facebook.
It worked for me. I didn't want to have to show Facebook. LinkedIn.
You have that?
Well, I did. I haven't updated it in a long time. But like, I'm going to have to change it from like freelance TV host to like something else. No, I have to see this through. I have to see this through. So I'm glad that I did.
Yeah. Like my whole spiral yesterday. Yeah. Last night. Well, do I have to quit all my jobs? Maybe I'll just get like, maybe should I just start an OnlyFans? Oh, fuck. Even OnlyFans, I have to put in so much work. And like, what are the odds I can make money? That's another field, like another thing I have to figure out how to do a lot of work in. Mm-hmm. No.
No. I'm good. Yeah. I'd rather just stick this one out. Yeah. See where it goes.
And after last night, I had the whole spiral. I said, okay, V, it's 5 a.m. Just go to sleep. It'll be, it was a whole thing.
Oh, no.
I said, just go to sleep. It'll be okay. And then my cat went next to my shoulder to sleep next to me. And I said, comfort, it'll be fine. And then next thing I hear is, and my cat threw up on my bed.
And you're like, and this
is
a sign.
I turned around and it's like we just changed the sheets too that morning. So I turned around and I was like, so then I cleaned the sheets. But at this point, I was so defeated, just emotionally and mentally. I cleaned the sheets as much as I can, but I didn't remove them or anything. I just said, fuck it. And I put a towel then over it and rolled to the other side of my bed and just slept on that side. And that's how you know I just gave up.
That's dark.
That was yesterday.
Is that why I saw the cat outside in the rain when I pulled up?
Yeah.
Cat's outside crying in the rain.
Like, imagine you just like, finally something to comfort me. Oh, at least there's my cat.
Like, that's not the point of an emotional support animal. You're supposed to give me emotional support, whether you're trained to or not.
I know, but like on my bed. And the fact that I scrubbed it, but then I just put a towel over it and I said, it's fine. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And that, for me, it's like one of those things, like, should I keep that to myself for the rest of my life? I should have.
No.
Okay.
My dog once had explosive diarrhea on my wall.
And what did you do?
I just turned the light on and I looked at him. He looked at me. And I actually don't know what I did. I think I blacked out. I blacked out. I think I cleaned it. Because it smelled like shit on the wall.
Right, literally.
Because there was shit on the wall. But I was like, you're so innocent. Like, you don't even know. Like, yeah, sometimes you shit on the wall.
Yeah.
What can you do?
No, yeah, that's why I rolled over to the other side. So that's me in my 30s. That's where I'm at. Just one of those nights. And then...
And he threw up Wetzel's pretzels.
That's true. From all ends, holes of... Yeah, that's been my week. So that's just kind of where I'm at. And then I slept for 3 hours and then I woke up for work. So that was my night last night.
That's terrible.
Yes.
What is the lesson?
Release control.
Release control.
Let Jesus take the... Well, let Moses take the wheel. Let
somebody take the wheel. Let the cat throw up. Let the dog shit on the wall. It is what it is.
Life goes on. It worked, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
It could always be worse. Don't know how,
She could have thrown up on me.
Right. In your mouth while you were asleep.
No, I would have preferred that because then I could have at least showered. And been fine. The sheets are so hard to take off.
Yeah.
On that bed. It's like the bed itself is so heavy to pick up. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'll do it.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'll do it today.
Things we do for our kids.
I know. All right. Moving on from that joyful story. Well, I guess I was going to ask you if you could share a moment in your life where you felt loss or uncertain in your path in your life, but in a way I think you kind of just covered that, right?
I mean, that was
25,
like,
and then last year.
Yeah, that was the biggest one. So yeah, 25 and 30.
So then what's something that you want to make sure you will not be repeating again this year?
Letting other people dictate how I feel on a regular basis. I have always been like a huge advocate against that. Like, don't let anyone tell you how to feel. I think because I was bullied a lot when I was in elementary and middle school. And then when I went to high school, I had like my glow up, like internally, where I was like, I'm not going to let anybody tell me how I feel and how I look. And like, I'm radical acceptance. Like, nobody's going to tell me. And then I kind of had lost that last year. I was just like, okay, like, this person doesn't like me. This person's not valuing my work. This person's treating me like shit.
Everyone Fine. Must be right.
Everyone's
they,
right.
They see something. Obviously, yeah. they know better than me.
Yeah. And like, how can I, am I just going to like actively change their minds, or am I going to just give in to whatever they're saying and just like give up and just be like, fine. Like, if you want to send me on this roller coaster, like, fine, I'm on it. And then at the end of the year, I was like, bitch, what? No, like, absolutely not. So this year, I'm very much like, no, I control the spaces that I'm in. I control the rooms that I'm in, regardless of how other people's energy is presenting itself. I'm going to put forth my best effort and shine in the way that I know that I can and that I do. And that's that. Like, fuck everyone. I don't give a fuck about anything other than what the fuck I got going on.
100%. I agree with that. I think because, again, we forget that everyone's projecting their own reality and themselves onto everyone else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we are feeling lost, it's really dangerous when you start being unsure of who you are, because then someone else who's not sure about themselves will start telling you who mm-hmm. the F you are. Mm-hmm. And you may just end up believing them.
Yeah.
That's really scary and dangerous.
Yeah. And I had gotten to that point where I was like losing myself. And I wasn't going to let that happen again.
That's good. I like that. It reminds me when years ago I created, the first time my boyfriend was dating someone else at the same time as me or whatever it was, I don't recall. Whatever happened, you know, young love. Mm. But whatever it was, I recall I created a dating blog. This was years ago, before Daddy Issues Anything. I created a dating blog, and I was writing on the dating blog on why the two women shouldn't hate each other and instead they should be pals, because the problem is the guy, not mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that happened, and you know, English is my third language, and back then I still didn't believe in my own skills and all that. It was the first time I wrote anything.
Yeah.
And I never excelled in English. I always excelled in math. That's it. That was the only thing I knew I was good at. So I wrote that blog. It made me feel better about my situation. And then I remember one of our friends in our group of friends, this girl who was a journalist, she said, oh my God, what is she doing? That's like so embarrassing. And because I doubted my own skills and I didn't believe in myself, the minute she said that, I said, well, she's onto something. She's
she said
right.
it to you?
She said it to our friend who told me.
Oh.
But the minute that happened, it validated exactly how I felt about myself. Mm-hmm. She's right. I am a terrible writer. English is my third language. I was never good at this. This validated exactly what it's like, a memory of everyone who's ever said something bad about my writing. She knows. Mm-hmm. She knows.
she
I deleted it immediately. Then years later, right, because I didn't believe in myself. So that was more than enough for me to believe her.
Yeah.
Then years later, when I was an accountant and I secretly created Daddy Issues as my escape that helped me with my depression and finding myself again, and it was a secret meme account, and only a few people knew that I was behind that account. In that group of friends, she found out, and kid you not, like a broken clockwork or whatever, she said, oh my God, what is she doing? That's like so embarrassing. This time, I felt differently. Because when I was doing that, not only was it making me feel better about myself, I was like, this is something. Mm-hmm. It was reminding me who I was. And I was like, this is something. Like, I know. It was the first time in my life that I had a purpose again. And I knew it was something. So when she said that, I said, who the fuck is this bitch?
Yeah.
Who are you again?
Bitch, what?
You're behind me for a reason. And I said, no, I know this is something. Like, I don't need to hear her. But that's just the difference. When mm-hmm. you're not sure about yourself, other people will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
When you know who you are, those little background noises, they don't matter.
Yeah, 1,000%. Even now, I mean, I've been a host for how many years now? 11? Damn. 10? 11? I don't know. It's been a long time. But I'll get comments from time to time. And I have, not for nothing, 3 shows plus a podcast. So, like, I know what the fuck I'm doing. And an overall deal with Viacom. Like, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are very confident in my abilities at this point. And I'm confident in my abilities. But, you know, occasionally I'll get people who comment things or like blog about things and be like, I just don't know if she's right for this. I just don't know if she's did it. You don't sign the check.
Period.
So respectfully, I don't give a fuck what you think. When you host your show, I hope you're the best at it. But for me and my shows, this is what we got.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. I love that. Good. Do you email them saying that to them?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do comment. I'd like to clap back.
Oh, really?
It's one of my favorite pastimes. It's just so easy for me.
Yeah, I sometimes do it in like comments on my stuff.
I just feel like, I always say this, my social media is like my house. And if you come into my house and you take a shit on the floor, I'm going to have something to say about that. Unless it was an accident.
Right. Unless it was your dog.
Like, unless it was your dog. But if you actively pull your pants down, take a shit on the floor in my house, you're probably going to get kicked out. I'm probably going to have something to say to you about that. So like, don't come into my house and take a shit on the floor. Don't come on my page and like comment some shit. I think that people think that when you have a lot of followers, you can't see the comments. I can see.
Yeah. Or the minute you comment back, they go, oh, wow. Didn't realize you have so much time on your hands. Yeah. Well, so did you.
Yeah. So do you. Sorry. I used my one free moment to let you know that you're a piece of shit. Yeah. That's what I'm doing with my free time today. Tomorrow I'll do something else.
Exactly.
But I also comment back to the people who are supportive and like lovely and, you know, so I make time for what I want to make time for. Thanks. It's my life.
I love that for you. It's a free country.